left off in Genesis 19, verse 30. Genesis 19, 30, still dealing with Lot and the nephew of Abraham. He's been delivered from Sodom for the sake of Abraham. He has lost his wife. There is actually in the region a rock formation that has been attributed for years and years to looks like a woman out of Sodom. And I'm sure it's not, but it has that resemblance. So people have attached this to that. You know, it says that his wife turned into a pillar of salt. But this is a rock formation. But it just draws attention to that because of this. Verse 30, Genesis 19. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus, both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Let's pray. Lord, your word tells us and warns a child through Solomon in Proverbs to walk in the way of the Lord, to fear the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, to not begin down the path of destruction, to not make even one wrong turn that would lead to great evil and destruction. And yet, Lord, we know how easy it is for people this day to make that decision early in life. And so foolish is our age that many parents are wanting their children to choose their gender on their own, dismissing all biologic gender. And these are perilous times. And so, Lord, we learn from Lot some things that would do us well to know. And I pray, Lord, you would deliver the message to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a little thing to clear up, because when you deal with this, there's a question as to how many daughters Lot had. Because Lot's daughters come to the forefront here. And we're told that when the men came to the city in chapter 18, that one of the things that Lot offered to the men who were intent on being with sexually the two angels who showed up was, he said, "Listen, don't hurt these men. I have two daughters who have never known a man. I'll give you those, and you can lie with them. That's in chapter 19. I might have said 18. And so that was what he offered, verse 8 of chapter 19. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. But then, in verse 14, there's mention of sons-in-law. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Now another element in that is verse 15, where the daughters are mentioned as those who are here. Verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." So there is one group of people who say that Lot had four daughters. Two are at home, two are married. And part of that is complicated by the fact that in the New King James Version here, the King James Version and the American Standard Versions, they all say that they're married already. The verse 14 spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters. But if you look at the later translations, the ESV, the NIV, the New American Standard, those types, they say who were to marry his daughters, meaning they were betrothed, not married. In other words, they were engaged to be married to these two men of Sodom, apparently, and in that theory, it had not yet happened. The marriage had not taken place. And that, to me, is the better way to see this, that they'd not been married yet. And I mentioned that last time we looked at it. But that they've not been married yet. And it's common in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 1, for example, if you'll turn there, when Joseph and Mary were engaged, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." So before any marital relations took place, they were betrothed, and yet she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Then notice what Joseph is called, verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" So she was his wife. He was her husband. They had not consummated the marriage or the relationship. And yet they were the terms used were that they were husband and wife. Back in Genesis, this just seems to be, to me, the better translation. Because the Hebrew phrase that is being interpreted by more recent translations can refer to to a future event. The New King James follows the King James Version too much. I've mentioned that before. When the New King James has any kind of qualms with anything that's, you know, an older manuscript or whatever, they tend to, with one eye, look at the King James, and the other eye look at the manuscript, and they go with the King James. But the other translation is not so tied to the King James, and just translating the words would make Lot have two daughters instead of four. It's possible that he had four daughters and that two of them were married and they were not in the house anymore. But it's interesting to me, if that's the case, Lot makes no effort to speak to them, it seems. He speaks to those who, according to the better translation, I think, were to marry his daughters. His daughters were still in the home. But if they were married, and he speaks to the sons-in-law, I would think any good father would say, listen, the city's about to be destroyed. The sons-in-law thought he was joking, but surely he would try to snatch his daughters away anyway. Be my thought. Plus, when we're reading through here, the way that the daughters are mentioned is the firstborn and the younger. Two of them. The firstborn was with Lot. It doesn't have to be that the firstborn, if there were four, the firstborn doesn't have to marry first. But the way the words are, you know, the way the two daughters are mentioned, it just seems to me that the firstborn and the younger, who was not the firstborn, those were the two daughters of Lot. Now, MacArthur seems to think, from what I read in his study Bible, that there were four daughters. But I would lean, I believe, to the fact that there were two daughters, and so the two daughters were still unmarried. They were betrothed to whatever kind of men in Sodom you would betroth your daughters to. I mean, what, you're having a bad day to have given permission to that. Maybe they'd not been married yet because Lot was still smart enough to hold that off, trying to appease his daughters maybe, until some later time. So we have here then, I believe, two daughters of Lot who were yet unmarried, the only two daughters that are mentioned here, and that the sons-in-law are merely mentioned as future husbands. And that's what is intended. And that is not against, as I saw in Matthew 1, that's not against the tone of Scripture, where Mary is clearly a virgin and not yet married in the sense that we would speak of it to Joseph, and yet they were called husband and wife. That's the easy part. The issue now becomes, what has happened to these girls when Lot went to Sodom? Because in our day, our kids are often spoken of as a very special treasure that our society must look out for. And politicians are always talking about, we need to do this for the welfare of our children. It may be a school thing, or it may be vaccinations, or it may be, you know, whatever. We need to make sure our children are protected. And this from a nation that supports abortion. Kill all kinds of millions of babies, and then out of the other side of our mouths, as a society, we say how much we care about children. We don't really. A lot of things we can't believe from what our country says until they stop killing babies. And when they stop killing babies, then we can, if we find their words to be good, we might weigh them and find them to be worth believing. But until people stop saying it's good to abort, kill babies in the womb, I don't believe a thing they have to say about the welfare of children. And that's their problem. So these children of our day are learning humanism, postmodernism, post-Christian things. Our children today are learning that there is no absolute truth. That we're to just do whatever we want to do. There is no moral limit. Don't hurt other people, maybe, stuff like that. We expect kids today to be sexually active. We expect them to be fornicators. We expect kids to drink. We expect kids when they go to college to drink, get drunk, party, take drugs. The things that we immerse children in make them worse. It's important for kids to be in church, to learn the Bible, to learn morality, to be with their parents, and for the parents to teach them the Word of God, and for grandparents to teach grandchildren the Word of God. It's very important. Because if you turn a child loose in this world, which is increasingly the practice of people, parents, and society, then you get a couple of Lot's daughters out of it. And Lot's daughters, you see in verse 20, they move to Zoar previously because he was just stuck on, you know, being in a city. He wanted to be in Sodom. He was a city person now. He liked whatever was there, all the activity, all the whatever that he was drawn to. And so he went to Zoar because he was afraid to go into the mountains. He was afraid to be consumed. He was scared. He was very fidgety because of all that was happening. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And so he took his daughters, verse 30, and they left Zoar. And they dwelt in the mountains where he said before he was really not wanting to go. In fact, verse 17, the angels told him of this chapter to escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. He said, no, I don't want to go to the mountains. He says that I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die, verse 19. Yeah, so the angel says, escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. And Lot says, well, I can't go to the mountains lest I be destroyed. So we must characterize Lot as extremely twisted in his mind. So he just begged to go to Zoar, and when he got to Zoar, he was still unsettled, and he went to dwell in a cave in the mountains. Now, Christians are in this world, and they are, as Jesus prayed in John 17, not to be of the world. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible tells us that when we're saved, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or His beloved Son. So the Lord has taken us, when we are saved, out of the kingdom of Satan. Most people imagine themselves to live in the middle between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Satan is over here. The kingdom of God is over here. And they are right in the middle. And they've not made a decision yet. And they're probably looking for the better deal. So they're in limbo. They hear from both sides and they're just still in the plain. It's not that way biblically. If you're not in the kingdom of God, you're in the kingdom of the devil. When you're saved, you don't go from the valley or from a neutral country into the kingdom of God. You go from the kingdom of the devil. into the kingdom of God. That's the only two kingdoms we have, spiritually. And so, when you do not do that, when you do not go from the kingdom of Satan and to the kingdom of God, you are like the Pharisees. Jesus said in John 8:44, they were children of the devil. They do what their father wants them to do. And they said, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, and that's God. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. But what you're trying to do is what your father, the devil, wants you to do. They disagree, but that really doesn't matter to the facts. When a person is saved, according to 1 John, you're different. 1 John 3, verse 9, whoever's been born of God does not sin. It means he does not persist in that sinful lifestyle that he is rescued from. For his seed remains in him, God's seed, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So you see, there's a characteristic behavior of those who are children of the devil. And in this world, that is like I have a match and I'm looking for gas to light and set it on fire. And children must be rescued from the corruption of this world. And that is done, as it says in Psalm 119, how can a man keep his way pure? By taking heed to your word. Lot's daughters had been exposed to the opposite of that. They lived in a city where when two angels as men came into the city by night, the whole city surrounded the house and said, hey guys, come out and we'll have sex with these men. All these men were craving a relationship, intimacy with these two angels. Probably no more foolish decision had ever been made in all of history than that night to try that on those two angels. But the daughters lived in that. The daughters saw that the best thing to do is whatever felt good, whatever was most pleasing to the flesh. And so we get to verse 21 of Genesis 19. And what child even comes up with this? The firstborn said to the younger, our father is old and there is no man on the earth to come into us as is his custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Our lovely daughters. Lot says, here's my lovely daughters, the firstborn and the younger. And what's the first thing they think once they get in the cave? They escape the destruction of Sodom, which was destroyed because of the evil of its ways, to go and find in a cave that they're with their father and immediately conclude, the elder seemingly initiating this thought, is if we're ever going to have children, if we're ever going to raise up children to our father's lineage or seed, then we got to do it with our father. Now, any person raised better would have said, well, that's totally wrong. Can't do that. You would think out of the two of them, when the older one says, let's do this, the other one would say, what are you talking about? We have nothing of that here. They think nothing of it. And notice how they do this. I mean, it's sad, but it's conniving. Where do they come? You talk about drama. One thing with girls we found from some experience is that girls sometimes, and guys have it too, but girls are sometimes able to really push the drama needle to the far right. So what do they say? This outlandishly evil thing we've got to do because now that Sodom is destroyed, obviously there's not a man on the face of the earth. Can you imagine the lessons they've learned in history and geography and sociology and civics and things like that? Now they think that unless they get their father to impregnate them, there's nobody else on earth to do it. That's the way people do who are corrupt. They were so impatient and quick to sin that they sought to justify it by consequence, by saying, well, it's just pressed upon us. We have to. If we're going to keep seed going for our father, it's got to be this way. I wonder if these daughters had ever heard of finding another man and getting married. All the men in Sodom dying, that was the judgment of God. That was one city, Gomorrah, another city, cities of the plain. There was a whole world out there. But these kids had a different idea. Let's make our father drink wine. Now, this should still fail. Because, I mean, just speaking for myself, if somebody tried to get me drunk, they couldn't do it. Not by telling me, here, drink this whiskey. And you either. Somebody come up to you and say, I got some cocaine here. You want to, you know, yeah, let me snort some of that. No, you would say no. Well, Lot should have said that. But Lot is all bent out of shape now. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Lot is, as you noted, when the angels came to Sodom, he met them and brought them into his home, was hospitable, tried to protect them, rejected the plan the men placed upon him. When he left the city, he did not look back like his wife did. But his wife had become corrupt in love with the world of Sodom, and his daughters were corrupt, although they didn't look back. And Peter says in chapter 2, verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So he says there is in this world false teachers who are successful in their false teaching. You know it a lot of times. Jehovah's Witnesses show up. Mormons show up at the door. And even those not in cults, they've given themselves to a worldly lifestyle. They have no concern for God. They've been deceived. And then he mentions how God has judged sinners to make us fear. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the iniquity, and here of the ungodly. And here we are with Sodom, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would be ungodly. So he's saying how God judges the ungodly and how God saves those who are righteous, like Noah. And in verse 7, and delivered righteous Lot. Lot's position is righteous. By faith, he's followed the faith of Abraham. He is called by the scriptures righteous Lot. But notice, says he was who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. It changed him. He was no longer the man he was. And I believe it started back when he was offered, go your way, and whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was compromising that. So when Lot compromised, his wife became corrupted. His daughters come up with this plan to make their father drunk so that he will sleep with them and bear children through them. And the Bible tells us that's what they did. Verse 33, they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, I lay with my father last night. I feel awful about it. We're not going to do this anymore. No, no, no. She said, let's do it again. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. You see, that was the excuse. We'll have children from my father. Our father should have that. So we just, you know, this is the end justifies the mean situation ethics. So they made their father drink wine that night also. He cooperated with that plan. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day, or the Ammonites. Two of the great enemies of Israel. So, why did they do that? As the Peter tells us that Lot was vexed. He was twisted. He lived among these people. The ideal is Romans 12:1, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He didn't have that. He was transformed by the world. Whereas from the passive side, he was conformed to it. The world transformed Lot, who had already made some bad choices. And when that happened, then he was like the world. Instead of making the world like God, instead of being light and salt, he was led into darkness and was salted himself. It says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His mind, when he got out of Sodom, his mind was not right. He was frightened. He was shaky. He was expecting to be judged. He was expecting the world around him to fall in. He was not on solid ground. All of this as a result of wandering into corruption and not keeping himself from the world's destructive ways. Because of that, all this happened, and his girls are doing something that in their mind was justifiable. which is an evident token of the fact that they had been corrupted. It's kind of scary these days what young, teenage girls get into, teenage boys get into, how they think, how their minds are not renewed, and how the adults' minds are not renewed, but just are sunk into the world. I mean, we're to live in the world, and we'd be aware of the world, but not to have our minds corrupted and our bodies corrupted by the world. If you live by a river that floods a lot, and they tell you, y'all not live by that river, it floods at least 3 times a year. But you looking at it right then, it's dry. The river, and you want to live by a river all your life, and there's the river right there. It's so nice, it's flowing by. She said, I'm going to build a house right here by the river. In time, you're going to get flooded. It apparently won't be long if it floods 3 times a year. Because that's the nature of it. That's the nature of where you live. So you got to go to the mountains and escape to the mountains and be safe there. You got to get away from that. And love of the world kept Lot from doing that, and his children were corrupt. Now, they're responsible. I'm not saying that they're not responsible for their sin. But I'm just explaining why they might be led to such a thing, and why he would be open to being made to drink wine and get drunk. It's because he just, as it says in Peter, he lived among them, and he just watched it, and his mind went bad. And he wasn't righteous, Lot. He was righteous by position. He was righteous by standing. But he wasn't righteous by practice. Because he got affected. His soul was tormented by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds day by day. So the example to us is to keep from being spotted by the world. Pure religion, keep oneself unspotted by the world. And so that's our lesson learned from the life of Lot. Any comments, thoughts you have?